And welcome to another episode of Inside the Helmet, Monster Road to Indy Edition. We're here with Gustavo Menezes of Juncos Racing and also of the Interwetten.com junior team over in Formula Renault 2.0. Gustavo is kind of splitting his time, doing a full season in Star Mazda, but also doing some part-time work over in Europe, running the Formula Renault 2.0 Alps and the Euro Cup. And Gustavo, first of all, thank you very much for joining us again. It's a pleasure to have you back. And you had quite an exciting time at Sonoma this past weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This weekend was definitely really good. I was very excited. We finally showed this was the strongest race yet, that we had the speed. So it was definitely a step up from the rest of the season. I came back from Silverstone and learned a lot over in Europe and came back and was able to run solidly in the top three the whole weekend. Was leading. I even led most of the practices and ended up top three in all of them. And we went to qualifying and I was P1 until the last lap. And Vautier put on another set of tires and just barely got me by half a tenth. So, but we were very happy to be on the front row. I think that was definitely a major step up for a rookie. And we're definitely showing that I've got the speed. So things were looking really well. Unfortunately, the tires kind of went away in mid race, so I slowed down a bit and I was in third and Andries caught up to me. So I didn't want to have it. Of course, I wanted a podium like anyone else. So we had a very, very good battle for about 23 laps. We were dicing back and forth and there was a point that we went through turns 2, 3, and 4 side by side, almost driving each other off the track. But I managed to stay in front most of the time, and then unfortunately we had some contact and things happen. You know, it's racing, so I went off track and fell back to 12th and came back to 9th, I think, or 10th. So it's okay. You know, it would be a lot worse if I had to sit down at home now for a month and think about it. But we're off to Baltimore tomorrow, so get back in the car soon and make up for everything that was lost. So I'm very happy on that.
Well, for those who perhaps are not familiar with, I guess what I still remember as Sears Point, now Infineon Raceway there in Sonoma, turns 2, 3, and 4, that's as you're coming up the hill after the, well, we'll call it a front stretch, kind of like Mid-Ohio, it's a pretty short front stretch, but you climb up the hill, and both turn 2 and turn 3, they're pretty much, if I remember right, those are kind of blind corners. You just kind of got to turn in, hoping that the track is going to turn with you as you crest the hill. It's dicey enough doing that by yourself, but doing it side by side with someone as aggressive as Andries, that had to be some real white knuckle driving.
Yeah, it was definitely difficult. I mean, you come from I think it's 30 feet. You climb 120 feet up to turn two, and Andries was even a little bit ahead of me when we got to turn two. But I kept the power on and launched over the first curb, and it just luckily landed with some track under me still. So. So then all of a sudden I look and he's on my right side. And then we went down to turn three after going down about 40, 50 feet. You go up again. Mm-hmm. And I launched it over the curb again and made it. And again, the track was just under me. I was on the curb, just barely made it. And then we go down a blind corner. You can't even see. And then I think JV got in a little bit of contact with him and I got a little gap, so I got a little bit of breathing room for about half a lap, and I was like, thank God, I get to breathe a little bit and think of what I'm going to do next to stay up front.
Well, you know, this, as you said, this was your best effort of the season so far, even though the in the final accounting, according to the roster here from StarMazda.com, you ended up P8 by the end of the race, but as you mentioned, that certainly doesn't reflect the outstanding weekend that you had, the incredible pace that you showed from the beginning of the season, you know, when you were first doing testing there in, I believe it was January, that you had that 3-week boot camp. basically with the Junkos Racing. And then from the first race at St. Petersburg and on, slowly but surely you you kept gaining more and more pace and became more and more competitive. Got a nice podium finish at Iowa Speedway. Well done, especially for a super well. It's hard to call something that's less than a mile a super speedway, but from everyone that I hear, it kind of drives like one because of the banking.
Yeah.
And then your front row qualifying effort there in Infineon, it really seems that you've developed quite a bit as a driver. Is that what do you think has contributed to that? Is it just seat time? Is there something within Junkos Racing that's helping you do that? Of course, I know you have the team has a driver coach, a pretty good one in Peter Dempsey.
Yeah, I think it's a big combination of things. You know, I've always, since I was little, thrown myself in the deep end and tried to learn the hard way. So just making the jump into Star Mazda this year and in the Renault Euro Cup was a big jump from karting, you know. So I think that helps learn, and you have to learn to keep up, so it makes you have to learn quicker. And this whole season we've picked up a lot, you know. I've learned so much with the team and Peter and all my teammates, and then going over to Europe helped a lot too. And of course Iowa was an amazing podium. We were happy with it, but it's an oval. The car was amazing and we did good, but the big goal is to get a podium on a road course, you know, because then we know we'll be set, we'll be doing good. And and so it's been getting better and better. We had the speed in Three Rivers at Mosport, but I wasn't really aggressive enough, and that's part of the learning curve. And I went over to Silverstone and learned a few things finally, because I think everyone has their own time to pick stuff up and their own vision of it, and I kind of finally figured something out. So I knew it would help a lot, and I definitely learned a little bit more aggressiveness there, because when you have 40 cars trying to trample you, you kind of learn how to fight with them. So that helped a lot on the fight with Andries. And and yeah, so I think the whole season's just been getting better and better and built up to this this second place qualifying. And and in the race, now we can definitely see we have the speed on. Now we have to work on having the speed for 45 minutes so we can keep it up front.
Well, you know, you mentioned being at Silverstone, and as we mentioned earlier, you're racing for Interwitten.com junior team and Formula Renault 2.0. How did you make that connection? How did you get involved with Interwitten?
Well, I had a friend that was racing karts with me last year, and he went to their team, and I knew the team manager and the team owner there. And I've known him since the beginning of the year, but we told him we're already committed to Star Mazda because that's what we want to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Being in America is such a good feeling after all that racing in Europe. And they understood, but after Barber, we saw that there's a 10 or 11 races is a good amount of races, but when it's your first year, you want the most amount of seat time as possible. So we decided to call him up and try to do a few races so I can get more seat time. The more, the merrier. So we signed a deal with them over there to do the 6 races, and it's really paying off. So now all the drivers here have 2 races left, and I have 4 races left in my season. So it's a good experience.
And I should say, there's when it comes to learning, there's no replacement for experience. And of course, in your line of work, that equates to seat time. The more seat time you can get, the better off you are, I would imagine. And so that's a definite upside to running both here and in Europe, as you do get to run more races, you get more time in the cockpit, and gain more racing experience. But talk about some of the trials and tribulations of going back and forth from the U.S. to Europe, traveling and scheduling and visas and all of that. Of course, Simona DiSilvestro is finding the challenge of visas a little daunting right now.
Yeah, it's a little bit upsetting for Simona. I hope everything's okay for Baltimore. Luckily, there's no problem with the visas if we're just going there for a short trip. So we're good, but it's definitely difficult. Like, we went to the Sonoma test on Wednesday, the week before Sonoma, and while everyone was getting ready, I missed the last hour of practice, went straight to England, raced there, flew back, barely made it back for the race here. And it's difficult sometimes because then you wake up at 2 in the morning with jet lag and you're tired all day. But it's worth it. But it's a lot of work and it's stressing sometimes, you know, because it's not like you can show up in Europe and be the fast guy right away. You got to work for it. So like in Hungaroring, I was in the back of the pack and I expected it. I knew it was going to happen. It's always frustrating, but you learn so much from it that I think it'll pay off in the long run.
Well, not to mention the frequent flyer miles that you must be racking up.
Yeah, there's a lot over there. we've got quite a few miles every year.
Well, now that you've done some racing in Europe, you've done some racing here in the States, talk to us about some of the differences. And let's start with the racing styles on track, the driving styles of your fellow competitors, and the style of circuits that you see. Is there a big difference between the circuit type of circuits that you race in Europe and the type of circuits that you race here in the U.S.?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot different. Even though the tracks are different there, they're usually all the tracks that I've driven on are Formula One tracks with perfect curbs and perfect this. So it's always a shocker to drive there the first time. And the tracks are so long. I mean, Silverstone at 3.5 miles and Spa at 4.6. It's crazy. The lap never ends. So you can pass three people in a lap and it won't be over. So it's different, but just in the driving styles alone, I think both sides you learn a lot. And in the Mazda Championship, we have very good competition. I think the top nine drivers are definitely always there to fight for it. So it's cool, but in Europe, it's a little bit different because the top 35 drivers are there to fight for it, and you never know who's going to be in the front. If you make one little mistake in qualifying, you're in the back. Mm-hmm. And no one, unless you're in the top three or top four, no one really thinks about the championship. It's just a death race to the front. So, and you're allowed to block. There's the one move rule, but everyone kind of exaggerates it. So it's very, very difficult to pass. And if you can pass there and make your way up, you're doing a good job. And, everyone's so fast and everyone's been on those tracks for so long that when you come, an outsider, you know, you don't know any tracks, you don't know anything, and you have about an hour, 20 minutes to know what you're doing. So it's definitely hard, and I'm definitely learning so much, and the racecraft especially. I know that if I can race there, I can race anywhere.
Well, talk to us a little bit about the interaction that you have with your teammates, comparing, you know, your position there at Interwetten and your position there with Junkos Racing. You mentioned you picked up a lot from your teammates in the Star Mazda series, and you know, a lot of race weekends very often see you and your teammates huddled there on the qualifying grid talking things over and whatnot. It seems like you have a very cooperative environment here. Do you have that same kind of cooperative spirit over in Europe, or is there more tension between teammates over there? Is it more competitive?
Of course, there's a little bit more tension. You know, it's very competitive, but we all get along almost as well as here. It's a little bit different here. I was teammates with Tatiana back a few years ago, and JV. We're both Brazilian. We hang out with each other all the time. We're on the phone every day. We're very good friends on and off the track. So it's very good because all we do is help each other. You know, we would never get in each other's way. Over in Europe, also my teammate Timmy Hansen. We raced karts together and we were teammates, I think, in 08. So we get along together, too. We were in Holland together the other day practicing on the simulator. And it's definitely fun. I think one of the best teammates I've had in the last few years is JV. We're really good with each other. So it's very good to have each other as teammates. We definitely help each other a lot when it comes to data and everything. I think more than anywhere else would be here.
Well, last point of comparison, if you would, for us. Compare the fan interaction in the paddock environment on a race weekend for Formula Renault versus here. Here there's quite a bit of access that just a regular fan can have to the drivers in the Star Mazda series. Do you see that same sort of access and interaction in Europe?
Yeah, Renault did a very smart thing over in Europe for the Renault World Series. What they did is they give out free passes to all the events, but what you have to do is give them all your information and go to their, and then they send you all the info and invite you to go to their dealerships. So pretty much there's 200,000 fans, 100, whatever it may be. They have all of their info, which is very, very intelligent, because so many people love the racing that they end up buying a rental, and they make more money off of that than they would in tickets. So, but then it's free access to anywhere, so people are all around like crazy surrounding your trucks and stuff. And there's been more and more people every race. I think there was about average about 150,000 people in Silverstone, and your pits are crowded like no other. I mean, not in your pit, but right around the trucks. And it's a very cool thing, you know, to see so many people that love it and out there. And I think the U.S. is growing quite a lot with IndyCar, and hopefully in the next few years we'll get bigger and bigger. I'd hope to see it like there, because it's very surprising there. You wouldn't expect it, but every time you get to Saturday and Sunday, there's 40 minutes of traffic getting to the track to move 5 miles, and everyone is in love with it. So it's a very cool thing to be there and be a part of it.
Well, there you go, Mazda. There's the business model right there. It sounds like Renault really has a fantastic thing going over there, and I'd love to see some manufacturers kind of apply that over here. You know, as you mentioned, people being fans enough of the sport and the manufacturers that support the sport, they then go out and support their products. The whole race on Sunday, sell on Monday philosophy that seems to have dwindled here in the States. That's the way to bring it back right there.
Yeah, they definitely do it right. I mean, they have car shows on Saturday, Sunday. They bring the Meganes and all the models as if they were bringing the Speed 3 on the track, you know, and they do shows with it and drift events and everything. And then I think the best event of all is when they bring the Formula One car on track. That's definitely special. It almost blows out everyone's eardrums. But luckily, we already have that here. We have the Indy cars running with us, so that's just as good. We love it here. So I think it's a good philosophy, and I think in the U.S. we're working really hard to have something like that. So I think it's a good program.
Well, you know, that does lead me into something else I was curious about. Ed, I want to have your thoughts on the coming Baltimore GP. New track for everybody. This will be the inaugural race there on the streets of Baltimore. But I also want you to talk about the importance of racing on IndyCar weekends and in front of the Firestone Indy Lights and Izod IndyCar Series team owners. How big of a deal is that for you as a up-and-coming driver?
Yeah, I think it has a little bit of ups and downs, but 90% of them are ups, so I really love being with it. Definitely, you get a lot more attention. You get more fans, more people. The schedule is a little bit rough because, of course, there's IndyCar and Indy Lights already, so it's a very crowded schedule, but it's so much worth it. You know, we get to be friends with all the IndyCar drivers and the Indy Lights drivers. They see us on track. I mean, you come into the pits and you see them watching you, and you become friends with everyone in the paddock. So everyone knows when you're an up-and-coming driver, you know, and everyone keeps their eyes on you. So it's definitely worth it to be there. And that's something that I wish they had in Europe too, because it is so worth it here. I'm very happy to be a part of the program, and I think it's good. And I think Baltimore is going to be a very exciting race weekend. I think it's going to be a very strong one. A lot of people, I think, are going to be there. And I love street courses. They're very difficult to pass in, but if you can get the car and the driver figured out, it's definitely a lot of fun. And it's a very high concentration level. So I can't wait to be on track again.
Well, we still have quite a few races, or you have quite a few races still left in 2011. But we are getting close to the time when we need to start thinking about the next season. Have you made any plans yet for 2012? Or are we going to see you do a split schedule again?
We're still in the works of getting it. I mean, we're working hard to get everything solidified. We want to have everything figured out by the end of the Star Mazda season, for sure. We've been talking to a few people, and I think the main goal is we're either going to run in the Mazda series or in the Renault series, but I think there's a big, big chance that you'll see us in the Mazda series, and if we can, we'll try to do a few races in Europe if we're doing here. We haven't confirmed with anyone yet. We don't know exactly what's right. We're just waiting on a budget and sponsorship. I really like the program here, though, because if we can do it right next year, we can get a ride into the Indy Lights series. So we have a lot of big things in mind, and And I think in the next few months, you'll see us with a final conclusion and an announcement.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Gustavo, for joining us and sharing your thoughts with us. And best of luck this coming weekend in Baltimore.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.